Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, Mimi.
Oh. Hey, Gigi.
When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up a glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get queerified.
Hey everyone, I'm Gigi Gorgeous.
And I am Mimi.
And you are listening to the LGBTQ podcast, Queerified.
Our podcast brings you sweet, salty, and sour. And tonight we're backstage at Cruise and Tango's waiting to perform.
What's up, Toronto? Oh my God, Mimi, it's almost my number. Will you pass me that Krylon TV paint stick?
I just handed the DJ my mix. I hope he plays the right song this time.
Wait. Is that who I think it is over there?
She's about to go on.
All I can see is yellow. I can't really see her face. Can you?
She has upgraded. But first, please do not forget to call us at 1-844-QUERIES. That's QUEERYS.
Call and ask us everything on your mind. And let us know how we did tonight on stage. Or leave us a question for advice.
Also, please leave us 5 stars and a nice review, like this one from Carta GVL. And she says,
I cannot wait for this podcast. I am all ears, honey. Gigi and Mimi are a vibe. And if you tune in, you'll know soon enough. Oh my God, thank you so much. That's so sweet.
You were right. We are a vibe.
Oh my God, the yellow goddess just finished her number.
Oh my God, she just turned around. I saw her face. It's Lemon.
Lemon, Lemon, come over here. Can we have a few words with you for our podcast, Queerified? Of course you could bring your drink over. Come sit.
Here she is from Canada's Drag Race Season 1 and the new franchise, Drag Race UK versus the World.
Lemon!
Lemon!
Welcome back. We are here with none other than your favorite citrus fruit, Lemon!
Hi, I'm so excited. How are we doing today, ladies?
We're okay. Still suffering from the COVID. How are you?
I am good. I got my booster today, so I wore a tank top celebrate that. But
show it off.
You know, just I want to show everyone that I have a Band-Aid. I feel very kawaii in like a hot and sexy kind of way. You know what I mean? So
I know exactly how you mean, because every single time I get an estrogen shot, I leave the Band-Aid on for like 2 days. And if I'm acting crazy at all, I'm like, oh, I just got my shot C. See? Look.
Oh, exactly. See, that's when you have to go get the like Disney princess Band-Aids too, so you can really stunt on the girls.
Bitch, I gotta tell my doctor immediately.
To just jump right into a story. Once I hair flipped my way into a speaker and shattered my cheekbone open and was like gushing blood all down my face. And so for an entire week, I like couldn't do makeup on one half of my face. But I was so poor. So I was like, I'm going to do my shows, bitch, and I'm getting these booking fees. So I would literally go, I went and bought some Disney princess Band-Aids, and I had like one on my face, one on my eyebrow, and I was like serving for a little bit longer than I needed to.
When you shatter a cheekbone, do you need to like go to the hospital, get it like reset? And then...
I didn't actually.
Oh, it's just like a big bruise.
Yeah, I was exaggeration.
Did you like a Tuesday? It was a Tuesday night.
Yeah, it was, but you know, I cut real deep right there.
We improvise. It's what we do.
Exactly.
Lemon, you've had an insane quarantine pandemic time.
I really have.
The first season of Drag Race came out during quarantine, right?
It sure did. Right as
oh my god,
it started. Like it was like right, right when the quarantine began, we were like,
that is so insane. Like, how are you now going through your journey?
It's very interesting because I feel like so much of my life before Drag Race was like, I was living in New York. I was so young and cute and slutty. And I could get into any bar and be VIP and sit wherever I wanted and never waited in lines and like all this shit that I was like, oh, this is so cool. I want to be a VIP one day for real. You know what I mean? And not just like sneak my way in. And then pandemic happens. I actually do become a VIP and I'm at home with my dog all the time.
I will say, coming from both sides as well, sneaking in almost is more fun. To VIP.
I honestly think it is. I think it is.
When you're a VIP, it becomes worse.
Exactly.
Not that I would know, but like it becomes worse.
So you've actually just been on the new Drag Race franchise, UK versus the World.
Sure was.
Going from Canada's Drag Race to such a major and iconic, I mean, I've been having so much fun just getting to know the queens again, watching. What's that experience been like for you? And like, talk a little bit about that from the inside perspective.
I mean, it's very humbling because before Canada's Drag Race, I was living in New York. I didn't know Canadian drag. I didn't know, you know, how incredible these girls were or all the work they were putting in. Mm. And when I walked into the workroom on Canada's, it was like, this wave of like, oh shit, I am like here for some tough competition. These girls are amazing. They are like super, super, super original. And it was just like very humbling to like be in that room and be like, wow, like Canada really, you know, Canada's got talent, but it was a different show. But, you know, it was just very cool to like be in that room and feel all of this incredible Canadian energy because I think just in general, Canada kind of gets like the little brother edit of like the world where we're super sweet and we're super polite and like we're honestly just not really taken seriously in entertainment, I feel. So to be in a room like that and see how wrong I was and how wrong so many people were about that was like fucking dope. And to be like part of the legacy of like how fierce Canada's Drag Race is and is going to keep being like, that's legendary. So to then be part of like the
first
the world,
was amazing.
Be part of like what Canada is in the world, that part is like mind-boggling to me because it's like such an honor. It's so fucking cool. I, you know, wish I could have made Canada as proud as I wanted to, but you know what? Live, laugh, lem.
Oh my
gosh.
Live,
laugh, love.
You got there.
Happens.
You got there.
I totally feel that though, because I feel like Canada did for a long time get the shit end of the stick because it is Canada. It's not United States. Like everyone thinks that America is just it. But at the end of the day, so many fucking iconic stars are Canadian, you know, like.
And that's the gag.
It is the gag. So it's like, I feel like in the Drag Race franchise, just because there aren't as many seasons as, you know, other franchises of it, it makes it kind of like the little brother, like you said, but they're fucking putting their way up there. Mm-hmm. Like season one was everything. Season two is everything. Season three is going to be epic. Like Canada's on its way.
We're really doing that, you know?
Do you remember season one came out? We were all under quarantine. Everybody was watching that season of Drag Race, right? Like that was the first season that came out while we were all in our homes.
I know.
Go ahead.
No, it was so crazy to like all be sitting there and to feel like I really felt like everyone was talking about it and everyone was watching it, which was like an insane amount of pressure, but also like exactly what you want when you're on Drag Race. So it was super cool and it was super not at all what I had ever pictured.
Right.
What was it like preparing for your second round of Drag Race during the pandemic? I mean, it's already so hard preparing for a season of television.
Yeah, it was really, really, really hard because it's like you're really... My journey on Canada's Drag Race was like a dream come true. I felt like everything that happened, I really felt like it showed my real life story and everything that was going on. And I felt like I was able to express myself. And the one thing that I was like, oh, I wish that I could have done better in this is like all of my runways were just not quite what I dreamed them to be. But I didn't have the budget. I didn't have the skill set to be able to make those all myself. You know, I didn't have access to those things. So I did the best I could. And there are a lot of runways I'm still so, so proud of, but there's a lot that I look back on and I'm like, girl, you really, that denim look you really said.
I liked that look. You know, I was defending that look. I was like, it's cute. What do you mean?
It's cute, but it's like the fact that it is so like divisive, like that annoys me. Like I wanted to come out and stunt and have everyone be like, she's an amazing, you know what I mean? So it's like, yes, preparing for All Stars, I was like, okay, bitch, every single look that I turn the corner in is going to be head to toe perfection. Right. There is not going to be a rhinestone out of place. There is not going to be a piece of Italian satin that is not dyed to a lemon color. Like I was just like, bitch, everything is going to be exactly how I dreamt it to be. I'm spending every dime I made on Canada's Drag Race to make sure that like Canada really gets to show the glam, the drama, the fantasy. So, you know, I feel like I got to show that with the looks I did get to show. So I'm happy in that way, but it was very hard getting the like caliber of drag that I wanted.
Mm-hmm, of course.
In the middle of like, hey, can you run out to the store? No, actually, exactly. They're closed.
Exactly. It's almost like a drag queen's worst nightmare because it is so high pressure getting these situations. I've had tons of friends that have gone to the show and not really expected very, you know, that much competition, but they've had the resources. They've been able to have the designers pull things and borrow and drive over. And it, I mean, COVID just fucked so much up and we're all over it.
It's almost like, do I even want to do, like, if, you know, if it was you, like, would you even do it if you didn't have the,
yes,
the resources?
The
it takes someone really fucking brave to go into that.
The answer is yes.
That.
Do it. Always.
The answer is still
always
yes.
Do yeah. it.
Because this is my point of view, is like, you can have all of those costumes and still not make a mark on that show or just on the world in your way. But not having the costumes makes a mark in a way that you don't want.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like there's this kind of balance between like people do love someone who is not perfect. People don't really like to connect to someone who is just like 100%.
No one is
flawless.
Perfect.
Do you know what I mean?
So you can't connect to somebody who's perfect.
So you need to, but you still need to achieve like as close to the sun as possible. For that to make sense. And also like I did build a lot of my like branding, a lot of what Lemon is on like, oh, I'm perfect. So it's hard then to like live up to what
not
people expect me to do. Whereas I'm like, even if I'm looking gorgeous, like I'm still looking more gorgeous than some of the other girls who aren't looking gorgeous. You know what I mean? But maybe I don't look as good as I could look. And then there's the thing.
Right.
Standards, you know?
What was the like the biggest difference between the two seasons you were on?
I think Canada, I had a little bit more chance to like prove myself. And even like the talking to the judges, we didn't really, you know, obviously there's not time in the day for them to come and have a 4-hour dinner, lunch, brunch conversation with us. Like, I'm not expecting Michelle Visage to pull up into my hotel room and hop in the bath, but it was upsetting that I didn't get
to,
like...
Oh my God, how was that? You were in front of RuPaul and Michelle Visage.
Yeah.
It was not Brooklyn Heights. Like, what was that like?
It was just, like, terrifying and awful because as soon as they started talking, they were so mean to me and I didn't know why. So I was just standing there, like...
Right.
Oh,
we saw... Like... Yes, right. So I wanted to ask also, I was thinking this while watching... How has Lemon grown first time on TV versus second? What would you tell Lemon?
I think the thing about Lemon on season one is that she really was, I feel like I was me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the thing about growth is like you're constantly changing and you're constantly evolving who you already are. And being someone who was very fortunate to like grow up in a household where I was encouraged to like explore myself and to own every part of who I was and to like never be afraid of, you know, femininity or masculinity or anything. Like, I think that made my journey super linear. I feel like everything about Lemon is completely different, but it's like all the same principles. Like Lemon is the same person that she always was, but now she's grown up. She's an adult. Do you know what I mean? I have the budget to make the looks that I want to do. And I'm not here, mm-hmm. you know, to be petty. I'm not here to be, you know, a cunt. I never was. I'm there to
maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit, but for fun. You know what I mean? Like I'm here to make yeah. jokes and make people laugh. And like I'm here to like poke little mean comments at my friends, but like not to tear people down. You know what I mean? So I'm like
never.
So I think that is, you know. I that was the thing that I like didn't get to show that I would really wish I got to like, mm-hmm. you know, share more of was just that like adulthood.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I just wanted to know, like, no one wants to go home first. Like, there's this big thing about going home first. But, you know, it's not so bad in some cases. There have been cases where it's been good. You know, people have taken advantage of going home first. What was that feeling like for you? Was it just earth-shattering?
I mean, at the time, it was just, like, really confusing. And I felt really, like, mm-hmm. embarrassed. And I think that's why I was crying so much, is because I was just, like, mm-hmm. I felt like I had gone into this thinking like where that I knew where I would stand kind of thing. And that I had, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know that things were going to go differently. Again, what we were just saying about like expectations, you know, mm-hmm. I had walked in there hoping to hear RuPaul say like, oh my God, we are so excited to have you. And not getting any of that. And then just standing at the back and I didn't even get to lip sync to save myself. And I didn't even get to mm-hmm. stand up and, you know, fight for like the, what I,
your place in the spot,
but I couldn't find the words to say what I wanted because I was just so upset and I was so distraught. You know what I mean? I'm like, all of that happened. And now looking back, I'm like, girl, you're so dramatic. Right.
But when you're in it, I'm sure it's life or death. Yeah. And we feel it. I mean, it's a very, very, exactly. very real thing, but I feel like it mm-hmm. isn't a death sentence.
No, exactly. No. And it's like, I think I was like heartbroken because I was just, I had put all of the pressure of fucking all of Canada on my shoulders. Right. I'm like, I have to win this. So Canada, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I'm like, it was just so disappointing to be stood up there and, you know, to feel like I did a good number and that I was so proud of what I did. And I could feel the girls staring mm-hmm. at me in a certain direction. And then when we got on the judges panel, the judges had a completely different feeling than what I was feeling and what I thought they were feeling. And then, you know what I mean? Everything was just spiraling down a hill of like, oh my God, wait, what's going on? Like, I felt like I was in like a teen drama where like the boy I liked just kissed another
girl. You were.
Like,
it like, fully was that though.
It was so much. So I was just like, you know, I really did want to make my like fan base proud. And I wanted to prove to everyone, like, I didn't want to come in and be like, you all loved me last time. You're going to love me again. I wanted to go in and be like, I don't care if you hated me. I want you to love me this time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because right. my shit's ready to go. But it was like just not getting that experience was gay, for lack of a better term. But like, I think that I, you know, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to bounce back. And like, honestly, like, at the end of the day, don't we all want to watch me jump off of a box into a split? Like, I feel like, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my God. But, you know, I think your fans know, everybody knows that this format of the show is not really about being the best drag queen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that anymore, right?
Yeah.
It's a whole new game.
I mean, the thing is, it could never be about that because drag isn't a, mm-hmm. like, drag is not a, like, qualifiable exactly. art form. Like, no art form yeah. is. Like, you can't say that this piece of art is better than this piece mm-hmm. of art because if they have a different intention than mm-hmm. you know what I
exactly.
mean?
So, totally.
So yes, absolutely.
So it's like, I just,
that's why
I wish I had thought that more when I was there and reminded yeah. myself, like, girl, it's not that deep. Like, mm-hmm. you know, make a joke.
And being there is the win.
Exactly. But it was just like such a, I also was on the bottom two, episode one of Canada's Drag Race. So I just felt mm-hmm. all of those same feelings of like, oh my God, I'm going home. I don't get to show anything. Like, it was just such a mind fuck of like drama and feelings. And like, and also I thought my number was good. And like, I didn't think every number was good. And like having to sit there and have everyone feel all this joy. And I was like, well, I didn't fucking like your number. But I was like, I can't do that because I'm not that girl. And also like, it's not their fault. You know what I mean? So I was just like, I didn't know what to say to anyone because I was just in such like a spinning head thing. So I'm glad that like it happened in a way because I'm like, I think it was like kind of funny like to watch. I mean, wow, that was really good TV, girl. You know what I mean? Like, if anything, you gave them really good TV. But you know, like, we live, we laugh, and we do not learn a thing.
Well, we wish to see you longer on the show, but everything happens for a reason, and we can't wait to see what you do next.
Ah, thank you. I have a lot of things in the work. I have, you know, an EP that I'm writing, got some rapstress skills.
Ooh, tell us.
Out.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I'm working on an EP, trying to get everything together, but I want to make sure that I write it all myself. And so I don't want to rush anything. I want to make sure that it comes from like, you know, my brain and me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take my time on it. I might pull a Rihanna, but when you get it, you'll live.
Perfection,
you know,
takes
I mean?
Time.
Final Drag Race question. Sorry for all the Drag Race questions.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
On the first season, you said that you were going to do Gigi Gorgeous for Snatch Game.
Oh, yes.
Hey, guys, it's Gigi.
Oh, my God. That's really good.
Thank you so much.
That's literally
thank you so
me.
Much.
Why didn't you end up doing me?
So I just, okay, I love you, obviously.
I love
and I
you.
I always wanted... I always wanted Lemon to like be in the same world of like the Gigi Gorgeous, the, you know, Paris Hilton, the perfect, beautiful, stunning, iconic blonde girl who just does her thing. You know what I mean?
Hell yes.
Nice, kind, sweet business woman. Yes. That's what I live for. Do you know what I mean? So I, the week before, was given a note by Brooklyn and the other judges that I needed to push myself further outside of my comfort zone.
Something
and
different.
To not coast.
Those bitches.
So I was like, okay, if I do Gigi right now, they're going to be like, girl,
you're doing you.
Girl, what?
It's giving
you
lemon
know? So
still.
It's giving lemon. So I was just like, okay, what is the like exact opposite direction, but still blonde?
Right.
That was very important.
Right.
Wait, who did you do again?
JoJo Siwa.
Oh yes, it was good.
Thank
oh
you,
yes, it was
positive,
good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I
you know what?
Cannot.
Different realm, same person. That's how I feel about like me and me and Ginny Lemon. I feel like me and Ginny Lemon are nature versus nurture. We're the exact same person,
really?
Just raised differently.
Okay,
I think.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're kidding.
No, I think we both have like irreverent takes on society. They're just completely opposite. Mm-hmm.
So okay, so when I was watching you on TV for the first time, I was instantly drawn in. And it was something where, like, I felt like I would be like, oh, I'm the lemon of the season. Like, that is me. I would watch. I would hear your voice. And I'd be like, it sounds like kind of I'm in the season. And I want to get a little deep right now. I've always wondered with really, really feminine queens who are very beautiful and all of that. I find it so fascinating, the line between a drag queen and the line between being trans. And I want to know your feelings behind that, your pronouns currently, if you've ever struggled with that. Has it always been an art form to you, or sometimes has it been kind of like a female, you know, presenting kind of vibe outside and in?
I, first of all, love this question. I think for me, I am very comfortable as a boy that is incredibly feminine. And I feel like, for me, when I play dress up and I put on feminine things, I still feel like I am a boy. But that's just I've never really struggled. I've obviously explored the idea of like, hey, do you think you're trans? Because you do like to dress up a lot. Right. You know what I mean?
Of
like,
course.
Hey, girl, like you have a few too many pairs of lace panties. But for me, I never really felt like I was in the wrong place or wrong body.
Dysphoric. Right.
Oh, yeah, I never felt dysphoric. I never felt like I was like, I never felt disconnected from what I saw in the mirror in that way. And I never, you know, looked at my body and thought like, oh, this just isn't what I see when I close my eyes, you know?
Right.
So for me, drag was kind of more of a thing where I almost didn't want to do it because I was like, I don't want people to think that I am trans. I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm, you know, exploring my sexuality in this way, because I don't think drag is something that you really explore your sexuality in. I think it is an art form. It's like a performance.
Right. But from the outside looking in, it can be, you know, misconstrued in that way. And I totally understand that. You standing very firm in your place is inspiring, because I think a lot of the time, like when I see someone so pretty, I'm like, oh my God, they could be trans. They're so beautiful. But that's just me getting excited because I've personally been through it, you know? So I'm like, oh my God, Lemon would make such a pretty girl.
You're like, I have to help them.
Thank you.
I only say it as a compliment. I find it so fascinating because there is.
No, of course.
Right from the outside looking in, it's like, wow, she's so beautiful. She must want to be a girl. And that's something, that's a question I got a lot. So it's very interesting to hear that you got the same thing.
And in a lot of ways, like, I do want to be that girl, but like, I am, I don't. The same reason I'm doing drag and I'm not a trans woman is because I'm not that girl.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just respect that girl. And I see her on the street and I saw Sharpay Evans and I saw, you know,
iconic.
The mean girls in those movies.
Bitch.
And I was like, oh my God, like that is the woman who should run the world. That should be our president. That should be our, you know what I mean? I was like, this is
Paris
all I need.
Paris for president, that video.
Paris for president, Gigi for president. I was like, I just don't care for the opinions of men. Do you know what I mean? But yep. I am one. So for me, I'm like, I don't feel, you know, like every day I want to wake up and be Lemon. Mm-hmm. That's not something that I feel. Lemon to me is like a creation of like, if I was sitting in an audience, sitting in a bar, who is the dream person that would come out on stage?
I love
she's
that.
She's a dancer. She's here. She's funny.
She's stunning. She's all of that. She's pretty. She's dumb a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm like, I want that girl. You know what
she
I mean?
She plays and the so, dumb blonde, yes. But she's in on the joke.
Exactly. So,
exactly. That's the one.
So that's just my personal journey. But I do think it's like an interesting concept just in general, because drag is so many different things, and drag manifests itself in so many different ways. And like, we always say like drag is like your innermost like personality, whatever, but it's like, how true is that? Cause then you look at the girls from, you know, Dragula, for example, and their drag is incredibly different. It's
right.
So, you know, amazing, but it's like detailed in a completely different way than ours ever would be. And then I've met so many of these girls and they are the sweetest, kindest, like coolest, most accepting people in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, so your insides look like a demon. But you know what I mean? It's like, I think drag can be that, but it can also just be like a reflection of like your most ideal world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is for me.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
How do you identify?
I identify as a gay man. He, him. they, them is fine too. But
hell yes.
You know, I, for me, it's never mattered. But I also, I will say that I think that also comes from a place of privilege where I'm able to kind of blend into either world if I wanted to.
Right.
I know
totally.
I know I wouldn't have a hard time walking out and you know, passing
like
as
you
a female.
Pass,
and,
right.
and so,
pretty
so
privileged.
I think that is something that like, it, obviously for me, pronouns don't matter as much because I do have control of them. And I think that that's really what a lot of people are looking for when they're looking for someone to call them by the right pronouns, is that they are, you know, validated and that they feel like they are in control of how the world sees them. And they should be. And we should all see them in the way that they want to be seen in that way too. So I think that's like a way to describe what pronouns like help do, I guess.
Yeah, that was actually really, really, really well said. And I want to talk a little bit.
You're
I
really
want to talk about privilege.
I do a lot of drugs.
Oh, come on, confessional. I want to talk a little bit about privilege. So coming out, we actually all grew up really close to each other. I don't know if many people know that, but we did. I want to know about your coming out process. Was it privilege? Did you go through it? Like, walk us through that. How did it all go down?
I was very, very, very lucky. It was incredibly privileged. Mm-hmm. My parents, I think, realized when I was maybe 2 or 3 that I was completely different than my older brother. And just we would, you know, walk into Toys R Us and my brother would run to the blue and I would run to the pink. And my parents were just like, what's like going on? Like, our kid is so different than like the other kids in his class and the other, you know what I mean? And I think my parents too were like, is this child trans? Like, is this a female child? Mm-hmm. And we are not sure. Like, so I think they were very understanding that they were like, we're going to have a different life than the other parents, you know? So, so they were, you know, they were went above and beyond and they did their research. They, you know, went and talked to specialists and they decided like,
oh my gosh,
we need to raise our child in a way that they're going to be confident and they're going to like love themselves and we don't know how to do it. So we need to like consult someone. And I think that's something that like a lot of parents don't have the foresight to do because it's like scary to like ask for help and be like, I'm a little bit in over my head, but it's like, kids don't come with like a manual, you know what I mean? It's like, you do have to ask for help. You do have to like ask for, you know, some guidance sometimes. And I think my parents did an incredible job and that made it very easy for me when I was growing up. Because I knew if I told my parents one thing or another thing that they would still be like, okay, well, we love you. We'll figure it out. We'll like, we'll learn how to deal with this and how to handle whatever it is.
What about externally, like in school?
Because
me and Gigi, like we were the bullies. Like that was our coping mechanism.
It was totally. It's a like be bullied,
you know,
or bully
like,
world. Honestly, in school,
it's very bad.
And it just
very bad.
It seemed like the end of the world. Like like going to school every day, it'd be like, well, I know this person's gonna pick on me, so no, I'm gonna pick on them. And never physical violence ever for Mimi or I, but it was giving bully.
We
it really
words.
Was. And like we weren't gonna take it. We weren't.
No.
I don't think I was really bullied. And I don't really think I was like a bully either. I think like, I recognize that I was different, but I also recognize that like, there was nothing like wrong with it. So if someone were to say something to me, I would like look at them and be like, what do you mean? You know what I mean? Like, I have this memory of an older kid being like, are you wearing mascara? And I like turned to him and I was like, yeah.
Oh my God, that is the scariest thing for them. Like, are you talking back?
Because
they
like,
did not know what
to
do.
Are you going
to
beat me up? Because I have mascara on. Like, I was like, what? Do you want to take this to the next level or do you want to be done?
You never
know. And I think that was
people
like.
People do. People get beat up over mascara.
People get crazy for sure. But I got lucky in that way of just being like, let's go. Like, let's talk about this. Let's see what you're really capable of, you know? Like, if you're going to hit me, I also went to an arts high school. So I was like, not even the gayest person in my class.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay. So safety in numbers.
Safety in numbers.
Can I ask just for reference?
Yes.
We can edit it out.
Cardinal Carter Academy for the Arts.
Oh, she's a city girl. Wait, is that in the city?
Well, yes, it is in the city. I'm not technically from the city,
she's a city girl.
I did some transit because, you know, I wanted to dance.
To get
I'm not
there.
From the city either. That's fine.
Yeah.
To dance. Wait, what took you to New York? It was dance, right?
Yeah. So I auditioned for the Ailey School and got in, thankfully. And I had only visited New York once for like a couple of days. And I just was like, I think I'm going to do it. And so I moved to New York with literally no direction, no apartment, no friends, nothing. And I met one friend on like Instagram through some other friends. And I was like, hey, like, can I sleep on your couch for 5 minutes? And
oh my God, Ballsy Owen
was his name. Super sweet. Became my roommate for 2 years. We were absolutely obsessed with each other. Perfect life. Hi, Owen. I love you. And yeah, I just, you know, as soon as I got to New York, I felt like, oh my God, like everyone here is like me in a way, because like everyone's here to do what we're all doing. You know what I mean? Like all of us, like we're all trying to be the same thing, right, in a way. Totally. You know what I mean? It's like trying to make the most of ourselves and trying to make ourselves like a something that is remembered.
Bitch, that's what I live for with that city. I will forever be energized every single time I go there. I want to take a little turn. So you being so out, secure within your masculinity, identifying as gay, but then presenting so female with your drag. How's dating life? What does dating life look like for Lemon?
Ooh.
I mean,
Dating
in the pandemic. I have standards that are obsene, obviously.
Of course,
I
she's feel picky, like as you should does. Be.
Mm-hmm. But dating is like very, you know, dating has like a million different complicated factors, because it's like looking for, you know, who's trying to date a famous drag queen. Not anyone who a famous drag queen would want to date. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
okay,
there's the two things don't coincide. So it's like, I'll find guys that I really like and they really like me, and then they find out what I do and they're like, just kidding. You know what I mean? Or I'll find guys and then they love what I do, and then they find out I'm famous and they're like, oh no, there's too many eyes on us. You know what I mean? Or it's like, there's just always something, it feels like, that kind of like bats it away. But I'm also like, I'm really happy being single, and I don't like need someone to be.
You're not looking?
No, like I'm not actively.
If you are
looking,
what would the type be? Let's help her, Gigi. We're looking now.
Okay. We're looking now.
Do you believe in a type? Do you have a type?
I don't think like a type, no. I like guys who are really funny. That's like obviously important. Okay. I like guys who are taller than me.
Okay.
Taller is important. I like guys who...
What's your height?
I'm 5'7", so it's like not hard to find, but...
Okay.
5'11", like, you know, is like fine, but like up to 6'4", you know, anywhere in that range, like we're good.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah, like I like guys who are successful, you know, I don't want to lug around a sack of potatoes.
With drive.
Mm-hmm. I like guys who are confident.
Okay, that makes sense. So ambitious, confident... funny guys. That's like, that's not that picky.
No,
guys are like that.
It
is picky, but you should be, you know, like a girl that knows what she wants gets what she wants. And I feel like it doesn't make you weaker if you do say like, it is so hard dating, because that's something that I fully had to admit because it is so hard dating. Being out there,
putting yourself out there,
being trans, being a drag queen, like you are, like, it really does set a lot of people off. But I think the beauty in it that our listeners can take from this is that it makes your niche so much smaller, and it makes you actually stronger at the end of the day. I know it might be a bummer to be like, oh my God, he was into me until he found out this about me. It will make you feel like shit about yourself. It will make you feel horrible. But at the end of the day, those who you attract, who be like, oh, you do that for work? That's still cool. Oh, you do this? Oh, that's still cool. Oh, you're super feminine or whatever. That's still cool. That's your niche, and then that's going to be your soulmate. So just keep searching with the regrets and the being rejected and all that. It literally is a blessing in disguise. You will find someone one day and be like, thank God I didn't end up with fucking
Joe Schmo
who accepted half of me and I settled. It's bullshit.
Exactly. And it's like, eventually you will find that person that doesn't have any of those hangups, and you'll be like, oh, fuck, thank God I wasn't waiting. Mm-hmm. Like, thank God I wasn't in some weird, like, half relationship where he didn't want to be seen with me in public and I didn't want to tag him on Instagram. Like, I'm like, oh, fuck that. Like,
no time.
I'm very like, if you don't want to be absolutely in love with me, like, actually fuck off. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Lemon, thank you so much for joining us. on this podcast. Will you stay with us to do some queries?
Oh my God, please.
Yes. Okay, we will be right back with Lemon. All right, we are back with Miss Drag Queen Extraordinaire Lemon. And if you guys are unaware, we have a hotline at 1-844-QUERIES. That's QUEERYS. Call and ask us anything. Mm-hmm. Ask us advice. Vent to us. Let's talk. We know you have a question. So, Lemon, are you ready to dive into a few of our listener queries?
Oh, I'm so ready. I'm on the tip of the diving board, baby.
Diving reference. Yes. Come on. Okay.
Hi, Gigi. My name is Dante, and I'm from New York, going to Bard College. I was wondering, do you know any trans men? Well, obviously you do, Gottmik. But do you know a trans man that has lived past the age of 60? I know it's kind of morbid, but I just started testosterone, and I'm wondering if I want to continue in order to keep my lifespan. Thanks.
Thank you so much for calling. New York in the house, Bard College.
Hi, Dante.
Hi, Dante. You're talking to a native New Yorker here with us. That is a morbid question. Gigi, do you know anything about testosterone shortening your life? I need to Google this.
I don't, but I know plenty of trans women who have lived past the age of 60, so I assume it's the same, but maybe that's crazy of me to say. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's just a Google away. Also, I don't think that you should take what you want to perceive, like what you want to be in life as like, will I live that long? I feel like you could do it very healthily with testosterone, like let your doctor know. I don't think you're supposed to be like a medical professional in those ways. I feel like let them do that.
Also, by the way, we are not doctors. Just want to let you know now. You can ask your medical questions, but please don't expect a medical answer. Lemon, do you know anything about testosterone shortening lifespan?
Unfortunately, I do not, but I feel, you know, that is a very interesting question that you should definitely talk to a doctor about who could help you a lot more than we could.
Right.
But I think even if, you know, we personally don't know any trans men who have lived to be past 60. They're in the length of history, there have probably been about 50 million. So you have nothing to worry about, my doll.
Come on, 50 million. Also, it's giving google.com. Let's Google. But also, personal advice, I would just say do it. If you're even like thinking about being a trans man, like, hello, go.
Like, would you rather live like a shorter, fulfilling, happy life? Or forever unhappy?
Honestly, being unhappy could kill you quicker. Mic drop.
Yes, I... Thank you so much. Good luck. Please give call us back if you find out from a doctor what the answer is, because we would love to tell everybody else. Okay. Our second question. Here we go.
Hey, Gigi. Hey, Mimi. My name is Garrett Hunter, and I'm from Miami, Florida. I am on my way back home right now and listening to your podcast. I absolutely love it. And I guess my question is, I'm going through a transition at the moment, just in the beginning, little baby phases, and I'm trying to pick out a name. And I'm very much feminine and Barbie like Gigi, and the only name that I can think of that fits for me is Gigi. So my question would be, what name do you think would fit most, and how did you pick your name? Thank you, love. Love the podcast.
Hi, Gigi. Thank you so much for calling in. wait, that's what she said, right? That she wants to change her name to Gigi?
I don't know if she said she wants to. I think she said the only name that she thinks would be fitting would be Gigi, but I don't know if she wants to make it Gigi.
I think she...
But isn't that all you need?
Would you be mad if she named herself Gigi?
Absolutely not. No. Oh my God. I think it's the highest compliment. Let me just say, anybody that takes Gigi is not taking Gigi. I think it's so cute. Like, I know, like, when Gigi Good just started out, she took Gigi from me. And I was like, bitch, we're now Gigi squared. And whenever we're together, I make a little joke with her. I'm like, we're Gigi squared. And I just think it's, you know what? I think it's all about the essence. If you're choosing the name, I think it's all about the essence. I feel like she gives Gigi essence, even her voice.
I could hear Gigi in the voice, honestly.
How would you guys choose your names if you guys were trans? Like, what steps would you do?
Well, Well, I think what she is saying is the perfect choice. If she heard Gigi and thought like, oh, this name fits me. Like, if that's the name that, mm-hmm. you know, makes your heart race and makes you feel like, you know, someone's just called your name. Like, then that's your name.
Exactly.
You know,
I feel that. I know a lot of trans girls. I know a lot of trans girls too. They take like their mom's names or their mom's middle names mm-hmm. or to keep it in the family and stuff like that. But I mean, a lot of names are like outdated. So literally whatever you think, make it out of the, pick it out of the blue. Like it's, you've got to live with it and you've got to feel the fantasy whenever you say it. So it'll come to you. And if not, Gigi, I'm so down, sister.
Yeah, it's Gigi. Let's, why are we running around in circles here? Thank you so much, Gigi,
Thank
for
you,
calling
Gigi.
In.
And we love you, Gigi.
Okay, our last question. Here we go.
What's up, you beautiful bitches? My name is Chelsea, and I live in South Carolina, and I was born in 1992, just like you guys. So as you know, this year we are going to be turning 30, and I just want to know, first of all, how you guys feel about reaching this milestone in your lives, as well as what advice you might have for maybe not beating yourself up so much for not being exactly where you thought that you would be at a certain age. Love you, Gorge.
Chelsea, that is a great question. You know, you tell me and we'll both know because I'm freaking out. Lemon, how old are you?
I'm 26. I'll be 27 this year. Oh, so I'm almost there.
But it's mm-hmm. so crazy. 30 is happening so fast. I feel like last year, though, like on the real, you know, a lot of people have the luxury about lying about their ages, but we don't. There's Google.
I don't know what you mean. I'm 21.
I mean, if you lie about it, it's just, you look crazy. It's just a moment. I feel like last year I was kind of gagging. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to start my name writing it with a two. Mm. Like I literally was like having like a quarter life crisis about it. But I think the closer I approach it.
Let's pass a quarter like, life.
April's coming so soon. And I feel like the best way that you can get over like that big age gap, at least the way I do it, is mm-hmm. bitch, look at what you've accomplished. Like I look at like mm-hmm. I don't think that I've accomplished any less than I thought that I would have, but also I feel like I've exceeded what I've accomplished. And I feel like it's so, like a year is so long and 30 years, it's insane. Mm-hmm. You can look back and like look at milestones that you've had and been like, I actually like made a dent in the world. I did like something fucking major. And then it makes it almost like exciting to start a new chapter. Like I'm excited to be 30, like walk in a room, be like, oh, these little 20-year-olds. I'm 30 and I'm more mature.
It's giving. Yes. I would love to, you know, 13 going on 30 is one of my favorite
Same.
Movies. So I am just waiting to be 30, flirty and thriving, you know? So
oh my God.
For me, it's always been something that like I've been waiting to turn 30. I can't wait to grow older. I can't wait till my hair goes gray.
Really?
Honestly, this is a little psychotic mm-hmm. and maybe a little morbid, but I feel like so many people don't get the privilege of like getting older and like seeing what you look like when you're wrinkly and mm-hmm. and old.
That's true.
And I like want to know,
oh, that's
you know
true.
What I mean? And it's like, yeah. And I think holding on to like the beauty of my 20s is a little psychotic to me because I'm like, I have the beauty of my 26 right now, and I'm going to have the beauty mm-hmm. of my 30, and I'm going to have the beauty of my 40. And like, they don't need to be the same beauty, you know, like you can change and you can look different and you're still just as like, you know, effervescent, because it's like what it's more than like if you have wrinkles, you know what I mean? That's like not what makes a person beautiful.
Do you know about your Saturn return?
I
no,
don't.
Me neither. Why? What is that? I want to know.
Gigi, I told you this a million times, but I'll say it again. So the Saturn return is like the age where Saturn returns to where it was when you were born, because it takes Ooh. Saturn about 27 years to orbit around the sun. It's astrology. And it's a time in your life of great change or upheaval and craziness. And sometimes it's very bad. And other times it's, you know, if you look at it as change, it's good.
Sometimes
we're leaving it. You're going into it.
I'm so excited.
Do you feel like things are changing right now in your life, going into, you know, a state of change?
I mean, yeah, but they like, I feel like they always happen. That's the other thing, is like people have mm-hmm. always asked me like, oh, what do you plan? Or like, you know, this, I don't remember the name, I'm sorry, but this most recent question they were
the
asking.
The Saturn appeasal. What is it, Mark?
Saturn return.
I just feel like, I don't know. There have been so many things that I've been like, oh, if I don't get to do this, then I won't be happy. But then I've like not done that and found another path to something else that is not comparable. They're completely different things. But that did make me happy. And it's like to look back and think like, oh, but I didn't get to do the one thing I wanted to do. That is like where you, that is where like the change like makes you crazy.
Right. It's almost like it stunts your growth, right?
Exactly. It's like whatever happens to you, if it's good or it's bad, like it happened to you, all we have is forward.
So I don't know who needs to hear this, but this is something that I've learned probably. I mean, literally I was probably like 14, 15, but I would be so excited for like a birthday or like a party or like a get together with family. Like, and I would literally amp myself up all week, what I was going to wear. I was so excited. I was just like every day leading up to this is shit. I can't wait for the day. Your expectations never, ever match the real deal.
Never.
And I feel like that is so, it's so comparable to age because it's almost like, it's like a silly, like let's smoke a joint and talk high talk. But it really is like, I really feel it like all the time. I'm like, okay, literally just day at a time, like everything is going to happen for a reason. And just like Lemon was saying, like you can't really like be like, well, I didn't do that. You really just have to take it day by day. And then before you know it, it's like, wow, look at all I've done because I wasn't just harping on that one thing.
Yeah, I used to think about that too. And then I stopped thinking about it a few years ago because I am so somewhere different. Like this is not what I thought my life would be. I truly thought that I would have kids by the time I was 25. And now I can't even imagine.
Oh my God, that's
children.
Such a thing that people like think all the time. And now that I'm almost 30, I'm like, I was so wrong. Like my kid would be 5 if it was in my dream. I would have raised a crackhead.
Yeah.
I would absolutely hate my child.
Like
right
even
now
I'm like, well, kids in a few years. I'm like, I can't even imagine.
Maybe. And,
well, 30's okay. 30's
yes.
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways. Lemon, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Honestly, you've been amazing.
Thank
We've loved you.
You
since your first season of Drag Race.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at my house. You can find me on Instagram, everyone knows where to find me. You know what I mean? It's like you just,
exactly.
If you're in the supermarket and you're in the produce aisle, like the yellow fruit,
next
that's
to the
me,
limes.
Next to the limes. Come on.
All right. Love you, Lemon. Guys, this has been Queerified. We'll see you next week. Love you.
Thanks to our very special guest, Lemon, and thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Gigi Gorgeous and me at Mark Maverick.
And as always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, and review. It helps us so much. And follow all episodes. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. Stay gorgeous.